Say, it's time for...
All Sweet. All Sweet is the margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor. Swift's All Sweet Margarine invites you to meet the meat. Peggy Leek is dining at her boyfriend Harold Harbinger's house. The large Harbinger dining room, rich in tradition, full of character, at the moment is full of characters, the main character being Grandpa Harbinger, who just dropped in for what the Harbingers hope will be only a few days' visit.
Grandpa, I'd like to have you meet Peggy Meek.
How do you do, Mr. Harbinger?
What did Harold say your name was, young lady?
Meek. Peggy Meek.
Hey, speak up.
Meek.
How do you spell it?
M-E-E-K.
Oh, Meek, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Well, now, that's an odd name.
Why, it's not so odd, Grandpa.
What'd you say, Harold?
I said it wasn't so odd.
What is odd?
Peggy's name.
Well, who said it was? I've known lots of girls named Peggy in my time. Matter of fact, known lots of girls, period. But I don't hear the name Meek much no more. You folks must be dying out. Still, I knew a Meek once.
You did?
What'd you say?
You did.
I just said it did, didn't I? Let's see now. It was back in 92. Or was it 93? No, you're wrong. It was 92. But anyway, she was a fine-looking woman by the name of Abigail.
Abigail Meek?
That's the woman. That's the woman. You know her, eh, young lady?
Oh, no, sir.
Then how'd you know her name was Abigail Meek?
Well, I...
Don't mind, Grandpa Peggy. She's quite a character.
Abigail Meek hailed from Oklahoma, Indian country, it was then. Or was it Kansas she come from? No, but gum, you're wrong. It weren't Kansas either. It was Nebraska.
Well, we used to have some relatives in Nebraska, I think.
Well, then, this Abigail Meek was probably some kinfolk of yours.
You really think so?
Tarnation, young lady. Of course you think so. Wouldn't say so if you didn't think so. Now, if I recollect rightly, Abigail married my grandfather's brother's boy, Hezekiah.
Oh.
Or was it homeless she got each year? No, you're wrong. It was Hezekiah, the funny-looking one. Now, that'd make Abigail my second cousin but married, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Grandpa.
And that'd make her your second cousin twice removed.
Boy, really?
Yep. And she was probably a cousin of something of yours, too, young lady.
A cousin of mine?
There you are. I guessed it, didn't I? Ain't so many people named me, but they all related some way. Yes, I can calculate you two kids are second cousins twice removed.
Harold and me?
Cousins?
That's the way I figure it.
Oh, but
Harold, think of it. You and I cousins. Oh, isn't it exciting?
Exciting? It's disgusting.
Harold.
Well, don't you know what this means, Peg? If it's true, you and I are through, that's all. Who wants to go around dating a relative? Gosh, it looked like I couldn't get a girl of my own. I never live it.
Harold, that isn't so.
Oh, yes, it is, Peg. Gosh, it just ruins our whole lives, that's all. Second cousin.
But Harold, twice removed.
Yeah, you remove yourself and I'll remove myself.
Oh, Harold.
What's the matter with everybody here? What you looking so grim about, boy?
Well, Grandpa, kind of a blow to a fellow to have a dinner date with his girlfriend turn out to be a family reunion.
Now, if you've ever enjoyed the delicate, natural flavor of All Sweet margarine spread on your favorite bread, you'll know what an appetizing appearance, what tasty goodness All Sweet gives that bread. Yes, All Sweet has a way of transforming an ordinary slice of bread into a snack or mealtime treat you'll want to enjoy again and again. But did you know that there's much more than just an attractive appearance and a grand flavor in All Sweet's farm fresh goodness? Yes, indeed. A slice of bread actually doubles in food energy when you spread it generously with wonderful All Sweet margarine. What's more, Swift & Company fortifies every savory pound of All Sweet with at least 15,000 units of valuable vitamin A. And those are mighty important facts to remember these winter days when it's extra important to keep your health and resistance to illness way above par. So, whether you use it as a delicious table spread or a flavorful and economical cooking aid, your family will not only relish it, but benefit from the nutritious goodness of All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Well, Harold, even if it is true, I don't see anything wrong with us being second cousins twice removed.
You don't?
No.
Oh, take a poor second cousin twice removed. That makes us relatives, doesn't it?
Yes, but just barely.
Well, you know how relatives are always fighting. So what chance do we have for any future happiness? We'll end up sooner or later by quarreling and bickering and fighting.
But Harold relatives don't have to fight, do they?
Maybe they don't have to, but they always do. Who are we to be different?
Oh, now, Harold, listen.
Why, there's a point there, young lady. But never heard a relative yet. You didn't wind up scrapping like cats and dogs. Human nature.
You're absolutely right, Grandpa.
No, he isn't.
Take my brother Abercrombie and his wife. They were short-tailed relatives, just like you two kids.
And what happened?
Poor Abercrombie didn't draw a peaceful breath from the day he was married to the day he died. For 950 years, Tessie always called his wife Tessie. That was the name, Tessie. And she nagged him and badgered him and henpecked him something terrible. Hounded him to an early grave. Abercrombie was only 89 when he went to his reward.
There, Peggy, you see?
But Harold, that doesn't mean that...
What if we should keep going together and get married someday? Dolly, I don't want to be hounded into an early grave. Or even a late one, for that matter.
Harold, do you mean to say that we're not going to go together anymore?
Gosh, Peg, I hate to give you up, but what can I do?
Oh, Harold, you're terrible!
Peg, don't blame me. It's fate. No one's to blame for us being relatives except Abigail Meek and that cousin of Grandpa.
Hezekiah was his name. He was sure a funny-looking kid. Had an Adam's apple like a billiard ball.
But the point is, Peggy, when I go out on a date, gosh, I want to take out a girl, not out a relative.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, Harold, all right.
Oh, Peggy, where are you going?
I'm going home. That's where I'm going.
But, Peggy, wait.
Let it go, son. Let it go. Let it go. You did just right for breaking up. Like he told my brother Abercrombie when he started spouting Tessie. Abercrombie said, you ain't only courting Tessie, you're courting disaster.
More coffee, Mortimer?
Yes, thank you, dear.
Now, what was that about Harold's father?
Oh, well, Harold's father didn't say so in so many words, but I got the distinct impression that I was going to be the nominating committee's candidate for treasurer.
Oh, I'm very happy for you, dear.
Hey, think of it, Aida. Me, treasurer of the Civic Center Beavers. Why, it'll be a very high honor.
Of course it will.
And a very responsible position, too. I'll be in charge of all the lodge's money. And right now, dear, we have more than $1,000 in the bank.
Think of it. That's a lot of money.
Certainly is. And as treasurer, I'll be the one who signs the checks. And that's why the lodge has to be so particular about who they get for treasurer. Just anybody won't do. The Beavers have got to be sure that the man is honest.
Well, they won't find a more honest man than you, Mortimer.
Yeah, I'm not one to toot my own horn, but I learned the meaning of the word honesty as a boy at my father's knee. And over it, too.
Oh.
And my father learned it from his. And his father learned it from his.
Daddy, can I talk to you?
Peggy, what are you doing home?
Aren't you having dinner at the Harbinger?
Oh, Mother, I just found out the most horrible thing from Harold's grandfather.
What, dear?
Our family is related to the Harbinger.
Related to the Harbinger?
Harold and I are second cousins, twice removed.
Dear, what in the world are you talking about?
It's true, Mother. Harold's grandfather's brother, whose name was Hezekiah Harbinger, married a relative of ours, Abigail Meek.
Abigail Meek?
I don't remember your having a relative by the name of Abigail Mortimer.
Well, no, neither do I. Well, she must have been a distant relative.
Not too distant, Daddy, only as far as Nebraska.
But, Peggy, even if we are related to the Harbingers in some vague way, what are you crying about?
Oh, Mother, don't you understand? Then Harold and I are relatives. And if we're relatives, how can we be girl and boyfriend?
Peggy, dear.
Oh, Daddy, why didn't you warn me? Why did you let me go on seeing Harold when we were practically blood relations?
Oh, now, dear, you know I don't know much about my family history. What makes Harold's grandfather so sure this Abigail Meek is a relative of ours?
Because he said she was. And Harold's grandfather never says anything unless he thinks it.
Well, but, dear, just the fact that he thinks a thing doesn't make it so.
Oh, you mean Abigail Meek wasn't a relative of ours?
Well, now, I didn't say that, dear. All I say is that Harold's grandfather's word isn't the final authority. Maybe this Abigail Meek was a relative, and then maybe she wasn't.
Well, unless I can prove definitely to Harold that she wasn't, she might as well be.
Well, why don't you look it up and find out for sure?
Look it up? How?
In the book on genealogy. There must be a record of the history of the Meek family or the Harbingers. You had the whole thing settled in no time.
Well, that's an excellent suggestion, Mortimer.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Oh, yes, Daddy, it is.
And thank you, Peggy.
And I'll do it, too. And I know exactly who may have a book like that.
Oh, dear.
Dr. Creamy. I heard him mention once that he had one of the biggest collections of genealogy books in the country. Excuse me, Mother.
Where are you going, Peggy?
To call Jill and have her meet me at Dr. Creamy's. I'll need help to go through all those books of his. Jill and I will give those two family trees a real shaking down.
Yeah, well, when you shake the tree, Peggy, be sure that you don't get hit on the head with anything.
Such as what, Daddy?
Nuts, Peggy. Nuts.
Peggy, we've gone through 8 books already, and we haven't found one mention of the Meeks or the Harbingers.
Well, keep on looking, Jill. Dr. Fermi still has a lot of books we haven't seen.
My dear Peggy, I'd be the last person in the world to cast aspersions on your lineage, but I question whether you'll find any reference to the Meek family in any of these books.
Why, Dr. Fermi?
Well, my dear, in order for one family to be mentioned in a book on genealogy, one family must have been famous, must have done something outstanding in the field of politics, business, science, the arts, or letters, something.
Well, Dr. Fermi, my uncle, Mordecai Meek, was very well known in the field of letters.
Oh, what did he write?
He didn't write anything, Doctor. He was postmaster of Sycamore Springs.
Oh. Let us proceed with our research.
Golly, Peg, this is silly.
Never mind, Jill. Start on this book now.
One moment. One moment. I have something.
But something on the Meek family, Dr. Fermi?
Precisely. The index says Meek. Pages 29, 30, and 31.
Hey, that's swell.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, I knew we'd find the Meeks in one of these books. What's the name of the book, Dr. Fermi?
It is entitled Hanging from the Family Tree.
Hanging from the Family Tree? What does that mean, Dr. Fermi?
Perhaps the subtitle will explain.
What does that say?
The Genealogy of Famous American Outlaws.
I'll answer that, you sir.
Good evening, Morty.
Where's Georgie? Come in, come in.
Where's Mortimer?
Hey, George Harbinger, dear.
Hi, Aggie.
Hello, George.
Sit down, George.
Hello. Oh, thanks, Morty. I just stopped by for a minute to give you some good news.
Good news?
Yep. Morty, my boy, you're the man the nominating committee is going to recommend for Treasure of the Beavers.
I am? Well, that's fine, George. Fine.
Fortunately for you, the other candidates for the position had to be ruled out.
Oh, really? Why, George?
The committee felt, so did I, that the family background of the man wasn't all that could be desired for a responsible position like treasurer.
Well, what was wrong, George?
Well, on investigation, we found that this man has an uncle who once skipped town without paying a traffic fine.
Oh, well, now, George, I wouldn't hold a person responsible for something his uncle did.
Now, that's where you're dead wrong, Morty. We have to be careful, especially about picking the man to be treasurer of the lodge.
But George, science has definitely proved
that
the
Listen, Morty, the treasurer of the Beavers handles a great deal of money.
Yes.
Other people's money.
Yes.
And, like Caesar's wife, he must be above reproach.
Oh, you mean Caesar Tonetti, the barber?
Oh, no. I simply mean you cannot have a man for treasurer whose family background has the slightest trace of scandal.
Well, now, George, I don't think that's right, but then...
Chairman of the nominating committee, Morty, I gave you my unqualified endorsement.
Well, thank you.
I just hope that the committee finds something in your background that would make me change my mind.
Oh, well, you don't have to worry about that, George. The history of the Meek family is as pure as the driven snow.
You're sure about that, Morty?
I'm positive. There wasn't a Meek that ever lived who did anything bad. In fact, there wasn't a Meek that ever lived who ever did much of anything, period.
And then there was Joshua Meek, confidence man, more popularly known as Slick Kid Meek.
Slick Kid Meek? And he was the son of Captain Sam Killer Meek, the pirate?
Quite right.
Oh, golly, Peggy, what a family you come from.
After an enforced stay of some 12 years in Sing Sing, the Slick Kid migrated to Wyoming, where upon a day in 1891, he was hanged for cattle rustling. But not before he had reared two sons who followed in their father's footsteps.
Oh.
One of the Slick Kid's sons was Charles, better known as Two Gun Charlie.
Oh.
Two Gun Charlie's brother bore the colorful sobriquet, the Mad Turk.
Holy smoke!
Being at various times a highwayman, train robber, forger, and all-around bad man. However, he gained his greatest reputation as a horse thief.
Oh, golly!
All in all, my dear Piggy, the Meeks are as impressive an array of cutthroats as ever I've encountered.
But none of them ever married a harbinger, did they?
As far as I can determine, no. The Meeks and the harbingers are not related, and the harbingers don't know how fortunate they are.
Oh, Jeepers, Jill, did you hear that? Harold and I are second cousins twice removed. After all, his grandfather was wrong, and I can prove it. Dr. Simmons, may I borrow that book to show to Harold?
Well,
show to Harold?
Uh-huh, Eddie, are you crazy? You can't let Harold know all your ancestors were criminals.
Oh, Pooh, what difference does it make? It's what a person is, not what his ancestors were that's important. May I borrow the book, Dr. Simmons?
Certainly, certainly. There's nothing more I like to be than a scheme roller, smoothing out the path of young love.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Broom. Come on, Jill. I'm going over and see Harold right away.
Okay, Peg. But there's just one question I'd like to ask now that I know what kind of a family you come from.
What's that?
How do you find room for your clothes with all these skeletons in your closet?
Morty! I say, Morty!
Come in.
Oh, excuse me, Mrs. Meek. I thought Mortimer might be in.
Mortimer might be, and Peggy might be, and I am. I'll set that in.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Something wrong?
Families and trees.
Huh?
Now get that puzzled look off your face, Mr. Weigel. It seems that the Meek family has gone mildly mad about its ancestors, and so I've retreated into my kitchen, the only safe and sane place around this house.
Safe and sane? And smells mighty good, too. What's cooking, Mrs. Meek?
Oh, one of Mortimer and Peggy's favorite treats, brown sugar cake.
Ah, boy.
I know it's going to be nice and tender and moist, too, because I use Allsweet to make it. And here, just taste this wonderful mocha icing. I'm simply delighted with the way Allsweet's given it such a smooth, rich goodness.
I'll say. You sure take good care of Mortimer and Peggy, Mrs. Meek.
Oh, yes, Mr. Weigel. Regardless of the Meek family tree, this family is going to eat well.
That I can see. And for that matter, any family can eat well if that family has Allsweet in the kitchen.
You're certainly right. And if anybody listening can't find Allsweet at her store, my advice to her is to ask your grocer to get Allsweet. He'll be glad to cooperate.
Correct, Mrs. Meek. And somebody like me at Swift & Company will take care of the order. Well, thanks for the sample. I'll be back for a piece of that cake later.
All
and
right.
Regards to Mortimer and Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
Say, tell them not to worry about the family tree. It's the branches on ours that worry me.
Well, if it isn't Dr. Furbish.
I beg your pardon?
I said, well, if it isn't Dr. Furnish.
If it isn't Dr. Furnish,
what? Nothing. It is just an expression that sort of means, hello, how are you?
I'm fine.
And you?
Fine.
Fine.
Quite a coincidence running into you, Mr. Meek. I just spent a rather enlightening half hour with your daughter.
Oh, yes. Peggy was over at your house trying to find out something about the Meek family, wasn't she?
Yes.
Did you find out anything?
Come, Meek. You don't have to pretend with me.
Pretend with you, Dr. Furnish. What do you mean?
I know all about the notorious Meek family.
Notorious Meek family?
About Captain Sam Killer Meek, the pirate.
Eh?
Slick Kid Meek, the continent man.
Who is?
Two Gun Charlie Meek, the second story man.
What?
And Turk Meek, the horse thief, and all the rest.
Wait, Dr. Furnish, what are you talking about?
Your ancestors, Mr. Meek.
My ancestors?
Now, don't worry.
What?
Your secret is safe with me. I'm a man who believes in letting the past bury its dead. Even if it does have to cut them down from a tree to do it.
Dr. Furnish, wait a minute. Do you mean to say that Meeks were a bunch of criminals?
Criminals? My dear Mr. Meek, compared to your relatives, Jesse James was a child with a piggy bank. Don't tell me you didn't know.
But I didn't.
Well, it's all in the book Peggy borrowed from me.
The book?
Hanging from the Family Tree, or The Genealogy of Famous American Outlaws.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my. So why did Peggy borrow that book from you, Dr. Furnish? Well, what would she want with a book like that?
Apparently, she wants to show it to Harold Harbinger to prove that he and she are not related.
She was going to show it to Harold Harbinger?
Yeah.
Oh, but she can't.
Why not?
Well, because if that book shows the Meeks to be a bunch of crooks,
yes.
And Peggy shows it to Harold,
yes.
And Harold shows it to his father, why, I'll never get to be treasurer of the Beavers.
You're going to be treasurer of the Beavers?
Well, maybe. If I can stop Peggy before she gives that book to Harold. But, oh, my gracious, if the nominating committee turned a man down because his uncle didn't pay a traffic fine, what do you suppose they'll do to me?
I'm not sure, Miss Meek. But whatever it is, not a jury in the world will convict them.
Well, hello there, young lady. What can I do for you?
I'd like to speak to Harold, if I may.
Sorry, he ain't home.
He's not?
Nope.
Oh, dear, now what am I going to do?
Well, whatever it is, don't take too long making up your mind. I was just getting ready to go to bed.
Well, look, Grandpa Harbinger, when Harold comes in, will you please give him this book and ask him to read pages 29,
29
30,
30,
and 31.
31, yes. All right, give it to me. I'll see you get it.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Harbinger, for everything.
Let's go. Just like to make the path of young love run smooth, that's all.
My gracious, I don't know what happened. Oh, here's Peggy coming down the street now. Peggy!
Hi, Dad. What's the matter?
Peggy, where's that book you borrowed from Dr. Furnish?
Hanging from the family tree?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I just left it at the Harbinger.
Oh, no! Peggy, get that book back from Harold right away.
Well, Harold wasn't home, Daddy. I left it with his grandfather.
Look, dear, we've got to get that book back. No one must ever see it. Now, do you understand?
But if Harold doesn't see it, then how can I prove we aren't second cousins twice removed?
Darling, if I don't get that book back before George Harbinger sees it, I'll be treasurer of the Beavers permanently removed.
Removed?
Perhaps on a rail. Come on. Ring the bell again, dear.
But I've been ringing it for 5 minutes, Daddy.
Well, all right, ring it again. And I'll knock at the same time.
All right.
Ready?
Uh-huh.
Ring.
Knock. Oh, it's no use, Daddy. Grandpa Harbinger is not only sound asleep, but he's also a little deaf.
Oh, my gracious. Now, what'll we do?
Daddy.
Huh?
I happen to know something.
Oh, what?
That the Harbingers always leave their dining room window unlocked.
Yeah. Oh, no, 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 Peggy. No, I couldn't do that. Now, I wouldn't be right.
Daddy, would you rather be right or treasurer?
Well, I'd like to be treasurer, but even breaking into a house, no, I just couldn't.
Daddy, you don't want to be doing it to get your own property, to protect your own reputation.
No, Peggy. It'll take a lot of talking to make me do a thing like that. Well?
Well, what?
Well, start talking. Let me see it.
Here it is right here.
All right. Now, come on. Let's get out of here. Somebody turned the lights on.
Somebody did.
Me. Oh, it's Grandfather Harbinger.
With a gun. Hate to miss you, son of the word. But it'd make a pretty big hole in here if I was a miser.
Oh, please.
Clear. You. Housebreaker?
Housebreaker.
That's what I said, and that's what you are. Put your hands up and keep them up.
But Grandpa Harbinger, we're not housebreakers. You remember me. I'm Peggy Meek. I was here earlier.
Sure you was. I know what you're up to now. You were chasing the joint.
Oh, no.
Don't try to deny it. Now, you two crooks are going to stand right there with your hands up till my son George comes home.
Until George comes home?
That's right.
But right.
Don't try no tricks neither, or you'll be getting acquainted with your ancestors.
Grandpa Harbinger, won't you please?
No, you yammering at me, mister. I ain't listening.
Well, you listen. There's somebody coming now.
That you, George?
Yes, Dad.
Come in here, George.
What I got. What are you doing up this time? Hey, Dad. What are you doing with that shotgun?
Look in the corner. Housebreaker.
Morley.
Hello, George.
And Peggy.
Hello, Mr. Harbinger.
Dad, what's the meaning of this?
Caught them two sneaking around the house. Ain't counted the silverware yet, but...
Don't be ridiculous. They're not housebreakers. Morley's one of my oldest and best friends.
That's what I kept trying to tell him, George.
Get away, Morley. What were you doing in my house?
Well, George, we were...
Never mind that matter. I'm sorry I asked. Why, you know an old friend like you can come and go as you want to in my house.
Oh, that's very kind of you, George. Yes. And now, if you don't mind, we'll go. Come along here.
Coming, Daddy.
Put down the shotgun, Dad. Morty's no criminal.
Wait, eh? Well, if you don't think so, George, just take a look at that book he's got in his hand.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
go ahead. Look at it, George.
Huh. What about it?
Hanging from the family tree, that's what it's called. The girl brought it, and I read pages 29, 30, and 31 before I went to sleep. George, the Meeks have been criminals for 5 generations.
3 generations.
Including you and your paw. 5.
And after he read about the Meeks, what did George say, Mortimer?
Well, he said I had about as much chance of becoming treasurer of the Beavers as a snowball in a fiery furnace.
Oh, golly. If I hadn't taken that book over to the Harbingers to prove to hell that he isn't my cousin, this wouldn't have happened.
Oh, now don't blame yourself, Peggy. You had no way of knowing what it would lead to.
Well, at least I proved to hell that we're not related. Now we can start going together again. Oh, I get it.
Wonder who that could be at the door.
Harold probably come to apologize.
Hello, Peggy.
Hello, Harold. Come on in.
I'm sorry, Peg, but I can't.
Well, what's the matter? You in a hurry?
No, Peg, not exactly.
Harold, did your father tell you about that book that made him so angry at my father? The one that proves we're not related?
Yeah, that's what I came to see about.
Oh, what do you mean? Well, gosh, Harold, what are you looking so sad about? Now that we're not cousins anymore, we can start having dates again.
Oh, no, we can't, Peg. My father says I've got to stay completely away from any girl that comes from so long a line of criminals as you do.
Oh.
idea.
It won't do any good to cry about
it. Oh, but Mother, don't you understand? Harold and I are through. Finished. I'll never see him again.
But Peggy, dear.
Oh, there's no use talking, Father. My life is ruined. I'm an outcast. From now on, people will shun me. My friends won't talk to me. The sins of my ancestors have caught up with me.
Now, dear,
oh, where's that book? There it is. Oh, I feel like throwing it as far as I can.
Peggy, dear, you shouldn't give way to temper like that.
Your father's right, Peggy. You should be ashamed of yourself, throwing a book like that against the wall. Now, you pick it up and give it to me.
Yes, Mother.
And hand me that slip of paper that fell out of it.
Here, Mother.
What is that piece of paper, Agatha?
I don't know. Let me see. It says, errata. What does that mean, Mortimer?
Errata? Probably just the name of some famous Italian criminal.
Errata? Hmm. Oh, no. That's Latin. It means an error or a mistake.
Mortimer.
Peggy's right. Listen. Errata. On pages 29, 30, and 31, please substitute the name Meep for Meep.
What?
Substitute the name Meep for Meep? M-E-E-P, Meep.
Yes, that's what it says. Read it for yourself.
And all those criminals weren't our ancestors at all.
No, Peggy. The whole thing was a typographical error. This book was talking about the Meep family, not the Meep.
Oh, Agatha, dear. Agatha, I'm saved. When George Harbinger hears this, his committee will nominate me for treasurer of the Beavers after all. Excuse me, dear.
Where are you going, Morton?
I'm going to call George right away.
Wait a minute, Daddy. I'll come with you. I want to talk to Harold.
And after an evening like this, I'm going to bed.
Now, the next time you have leftover chicken or ham or roast beef, here's how to make it taste every bit as good as the original feast. Dice your meat and heat it in a rich, smooth sauce made with all-sweet margarine. And mind you, you'll have no worries about how your cream sauce will turn out when you enhance its goodness with all-sweet, delicate, natural flavor. Then, with that spruced up meat, serve vegetables that have benefited from all sweet's melting golden goodness. And hot Parker House rolls split in the middle and served with a thick pat of golden all sweet to further glorify them. Now, we keep talking about golden all sweet because it gives us a golden opportunity to remind you that it's quick and easy to tint all sweet to a sunny, tempting yellow. Or if you live in one of the many states whose laws permit the sale of colored margarine, you can buy yellow all-sweet in solid or quartered pounds. But any way you serve all-sweet with that meal of leftovers, your family is going to ask whose birthday it is or what big occasion you're celebrating. Yes, ma'am, that's the kind of praise you get on any meal made extra delicious with all-sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor. Meet the Meeks, a Les Weinrot production, stars Forrest Lewis and Beryl Vaughn, and is written by Sherman Marks and Ken Pettis. Others heard in today's cast were Viola Berwick, Dick York, Mary Frances Desmond, and Jeff Pugh. Music by Elwin Owen, sound effects by Dave Squires. Be sure to join us over these same stations next Saturday when All Sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor, again invite you to Meet the Meats. This is John Weigel speaking.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.